Dear friends, it is lovely to be with you as always, even if it is virtually so. I remember with gratitude all this community has done for me as it prepared me for ordination, Pentecost marking the first anniversary of my ordination to the priesthood. So I give you my thanks and long to be with you soon. It is no easy thing to be in a foreign country. Even if you know the language well and can make your way around without difficulty. The languages you hear are not your mother tongue. The food is not the food of home. The music is not the music that first stirred your heart. Now, if you are a tourist, being a stranger in a strange land is welcome because it is voluntary. As a tourist, you take delight in the new and the exotic. The novelty of the experience is why you're there, but you know that your sojourn is temporary. Soon you will be back in the familiarity of home. But if you're not a tourist, if you are a migrant, and all the more so if your migration is involuntary, then your experience is almost always unmooring and disorienting. However cosmopolitan and global we aspire to be, we are creatures of culture. Not culture in general, but of specific cultures. We arrive on the planet and emerge from our mother's wombs in just this place, eating just this food and speaking just this language. True, we are all human, but we are all human in specificity. There is no such thing as a generic human. That's not how we come. I was born in the city of Trivandrum in the South Indian state of Kerala. My mother tongue is Malayalam. If you're curious, it's considered the longest palindrome in the English language. It reads the same way forward and backwards, Malayalam. Sadly, I have never lived in Kerala, my home state, although I have visited often during summer breaks as Indian American families do. The smells, the tastes, the intense greens of the maritime tropical forests, and even the warm, humid heat, all this speaks of home. But I am also that most curious creature, an immigrant who was brought to my new country in childhood. I arrived when I was nearly 9. Because I was taught in Indian English medium schools, I had no great trouble adapting to American schooling. My challenge was different. Because I arrived when I was so young, I can only think any complicated thought in English. Now, I can still think in Malayalam, but nothing very sophisticated. It is the language I use when speaking to my dad, but that too only about the stuff of ordinary life. English has become my primary language. Nonetheless, Malayalam still holds a special place in my heart. It is, after all, the language I first heard in the crib. Now, I share all this with you because our reading from Acts is all about language. Pentecost is a most extraordinary linguistic event. It is also, although this is almost never recognized, an event about migration. Recall the verse. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. Not visiting Jerusalem. The Greek word is katoikountes, which is variously translated as either living or dwelling. So there's good reason to believe that these were neither tourists nor pilgrims, but migrants. I don't know how many of you have ever lived abroad for any length of time, immersed in another language and culture. when, quite unexpectedly, you hear a stray snippet of your mother tongue. It's always an unexpected delight. Even though you are on the other side of the planet, for a moment you are back home. Listen again. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one of them heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." Back then, Galileans would have been considered backcountry rubes, not cultivated city dwellers who might have picked up something of the languages of those living in the city. On Pentecost, Jerusalem's immigrants say, "These local yokels can't possibly be speaking in our languages. And yet that's what we are hearing. Each of us is hearing about God's deeds of power in our own mother tongues. How can this be?" I'd like to think that my alum was heard that day. My home state of Kerala has been for thousands of years the center of the spice trade. Even today, you can go to the city of Cochin and find the local synagogue in the part of town that's called Jewtown, although most Jews have now left for Israel. So it's quite plausible that there were some Jewish Malayalis living in Jerusalem. And believe me, we Malayalis know how to get around. But why should it matter to me that the Spirit empowered some of the disciples, perhaps Thomas, who later went to India to speak in Malayalam? For starters, it means that my mother tongue matters. It means that God wants to be heard and understood in the language of my people. But think also what it means for the good news of God's love to be spoken in Malayalam or Amharic or Swahili. It means that God is willing to become known, not only in these languages, but in and through the categories, colloquialisms, and the stories these languages hold. When the Word became incarnate in Jesus, God did not become a generic human, but the singular Galilean Jew. God became specific. God desired to be known through the dreams, lifeways, language, and longings of a particular people. On Pentecost, the gospel undergoes linguistic profusion. And through that profusion, incarnation continues. God's loving labor of becoming specific continues. Now the Spirit of the one who in his earthly life spoke only Aramaic, Hebrew, and perhaps a smattering of Greek, decides to make herself known in the tongues of countless people. Now, the good news of God's love in Jesus takes flesh in Malayalam, Arabic, and countless other languages besides. Incarnation continues into the specificities of countless languages. The Word became flesh in Jesus, but the Spirit takes on the flesh of many languages. Now, this surely means that God loves linguistic diversity, which also means that God loves cultural diversity. God permits the treasure of the gospel to become flesh in all the world's languages. On Pentecost, we learn that God was not and is still not finished with the work of becoming specific, becoming diverse. The God who in Jesus learned to speak Aramaic now speaks in every other language as well. Many of us have learned to speak and even translate from one language to another. So I suspect that you know that when we translate, what is translated does not remain identical. To translate is to transfigure. To say something truly in another language requires that you must risk saying what you want to say anew and afresh. So when the gospel is translated into Tamil or Telugu or Tagalog, it is transformed and even enriched. If the gospel is to give new life, it must become new as it takes on the idioms and imaginative possibilities found in other languages. On Pentecost, the Spirit does something daring. The Spirit refuses homogeneity and embraces multiplicity. We would also do well to note that when the divine took on flesh, the incarnation of God took place in Aramaic, not the imperial languages of the day, namely Latin and Greek. God deigned to embrace a third-rate language of no particular cultural standing. Certainly not the language of imperial power. Pentecost means that God extends God's love for diversity into all the world's languages. God wants to say, "I love you," to all her creatures in the languages we learned to speak in our mother's kitchens. God desires to convey her love for us in the language of our hearts. In the incarnation, God challenged Roman supremacy by taking on the language of an obscure and provincial people. On Pentecost, God challenges Roman supremacy yet again by insisting that what God wants to say to her creatures can be said in every language under heaven. Oh yes, God can even speak in the languages of empire, even in languages used for subjugation and violence. God can say a subversive word. That subversive word, "Look for me in the crucified one and not in those who crucify." Because Pentecost is a linguistic event, it is also an event in the history of immigration. To these Jews gathered from every corner of the world, God says, "You may be far from home. You may miss the rolling green hillsides of your childhood, but I will find you and be with you right where you now dwell. Whether you are a migrant out of choice or necessity, I will speak to you in the treasured language of home. You may be far from home, but you are never far from me. And if by chance you have had to move to a colonized land, you need not conform. You need not forget who you were. You do not have to leave behind the customs and dialects of your people. I shall still speak to you through the language of home." The God of Pentecost is a God who cherishes the exile and the immigrant. Finally, Pentecost is also an event in which God draws people into community and communion. The miracle of Pentecost is not just that God spoke to each people inside their own linguistic bubble. On the contrary, the miracle was that God made it possible for them to understand each other. In so doing, God bonded them together in fellowship across linguistic difference. God is no lover of difference in splendid isolationism, but difference in relation. And what, after all, is difference in relation but another name for love? So on Pentecost, We are empowered to understand and love each other just as we are in all our diversities. On Pentecost, difference is not an occasion for division, but dialogue. On Pentecost, we learn to share with each other what God has whispered to each heart. And when we do, we learn more about the Holy One than we could ever do alone. The question we Christians must ask ourselves on Pentecost is this: are we still a Pentecost people? Or have we become a people devoted to sameness and homogeneity? In many parts of North America, Christians have developed a severe allergy to difference. Frankly, an allergy for difference has long been a part of white settler DNA. And white settler Canadians and even our church bear the tremendous burden of having actively worked to eradicate the languages of Indigenous people. Imagine the blasphemy of a people who claim to worship a Pentecost God, even as we punish children who dare to speak their mother tongues in the name of that very God. Our failure to understand the depth of the Pentecost story has had devastating consequences. So, dear siblings, let us pray earnestly that the Spirit of Pentecost will chasten and transform our hearts and make us once more a Pentecost people, a people who cherish linguistic and cultural difference, a people who welcome migrants and exiles, a people who remember that love is not love if it loves only the same. Amen.